Welcome to the King's Road podcast. I am your host, the Aries, Justin Yance. And we're going to talk about something very sad today. We're going to talk about Scott Hall, and I'm going to talk about AEW Dynamite. And next week, we're going to get back to Sting. So, Scott Hall. Wow. I didn't expect him to be gone. I didn't know how long he would live because of how hard a road he's lived. But wow, this is a sad moment for wrestling fans. When you think of Scott Hall, I think of one of the guys that, you know, pretty much changed the business. When the Outsiders came to WCW, that changed everything. When he showed up in Macon, Georgia, and said, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. And he keeps talking about, thing. And then we had Kevin Nash. And then that led to the NWO, another thing that revolutionized the business, changed the tide of the war almost instantly. As soon as Scott Hall came in, that pretty much put WCW over the top for a whole year and a half, and they could just do no wrong. And Scott Hall was a big deal with that. And, people talk about AWA and, his work with Kurt Hennig and, Diamond Stud. But, really for a lot of us, it came in when Razor Ramon, when he came in, the bad guy. He was basically doing a ripoff of Tony Montana. I never really watched that as much, but if you look back at his ladder match with Shawn Michaels, one of the first ladder match, well, first ladder match, not counting the Bret Hart one that, did. But the first big ladder match, WrestleMania 10, this was amazing. They both had Intercontinental titles, and, Scott Hall wins that match. Razor Ramon wins. Shawn Michaels gets his foot caught in the rope, and he wins. It's a fantastic match. When you talk to a lot of wrestlers, Triple H would tell you that was a match that changed the business. You could see the business changing as they were having the match. So that's a fascinating thing. But when I think of Scott Hall, I think of WCW. When he came in, the Outsiders, the third man, them running roughshod, the second pay-per-view I ever bought was Slamboree 1998. That's where Scott Hall turned on Kevin Nash and joined NWO Hollywood. I remember the Scott Hall match versus Kevin Nash. That's when they were really talking about his drinking there. I remember that match. That was kind of the end. Then he was the guy that pretty much ended Goldberg's streak with the, he was the guy who had the taser and tasered him. And that led to their match at Sold Out 1999, where, he was basically, speared and jackhammered. And Scott Hall never really did anything after that. That was great. I mean, the most thing I really think of is when he threw the TV title into the trash. I mean, showed just how bonkers Vince Russo was, that he thought throwing one of their own titles in the trash was a good way to do it. I don't like that. But this isn't about that. So the Outsiders, they did, the NWO 2000. Nobody really remembers that. So he kind of sat on the shelf, and they did a thing where Kevin Nash fought Goldberg for his contract, and he didn't get it. WCW closes. Finally, whole year goes by. 2002, February, Vince McMahon says he's going to kill it, and he says with the NWO. And who do they bring in? Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And they come out at No Way Out 2002, one of the best openings to a show you'll ever see. And the pop those three got was amazing. They had those cool leather jackets with the black and white on them. Nash Scott Hall, you know, was scheduled, then was programmed with Steve Austin. It was horrible. Hated that crap they did. And then Hall was scheduled to beat Steve Austin, but he was having a lot of problems drinking, and he was essentially the match was changed to Steve Austin. Then he had some problems, the plane ride to hell from hell that ended Scott Hall's run in WWE and kind of sealed the, gave the final nail in the coffin to the NWO. Nash and Hall did some, I believe, New Japan stuff. They did TNA where they came in. I didn't really do much of anything. And then he really got into bad shape. And then DDP like kind of resurrected him, him and Jake Roberts. And he had life again. And it was so nice to see. And then Razor Ramon was inducted into the Hall of Fame. But yeah, Scott Hall, yeah, he's got those famous, he says, bad, was it bad guy, but bad guys do. Good guys never last, but bad guys do, something like that. It's one of the best things. But it was so nice to see a healthy Scott Hall and see him coming out there and, you know, doing the sporadic appearances. The thing that I would have loved to see in Scott Hall is him being some form of creative position, because a lot of people don't, some people know, people in the know will know this, but Scott Hall was the one who pitched the Sting Crow gimmick to Eric Bischoff. I mean, that's how smart he was. He was scheduled to beat Jericho on Nitro. He didn't beat him. He didn't, you know, he knew talent. Hall was always giving, and he always knew how to get his heat back. His shoot interviews are very interesting. It's really sad because he was a great worker and he probably could have been a world champion in another era. Or maybe if he kept his amp. I mean, people always remember the when he showed up in ECW. And that was cool. He was always cool. He was the cool guy. He was Razor Ramon. He was Tony Montana. You know, he was the guy. And I didn't know how much longer he had to live, but I mean, sad. He had surgery and he had a blood clot, and then he suffered three simultaneous heart attacks, and it was, they had to put him on life support, and that's it. I mean, the person I feel bad, the most bad for is guys in the clique. Kevin Nash, especially, that was like, you can tell that's his best friend. And it's really sad. And he was such a good guy. And he got his life on track. And I cried a lot about this when I read some of the moments that Kevin Nash talked about. Makes me sad. But yeah, Scott Hall is no longer with us. But you know what? We will always remember him. And they did a nice tribute to him on Monday Nitro. I'm sorry. Monday Night Raw on Monday, and that was beautiful to see, but it's sad. Is he, him and Nash, they and Hogan, the NWO that revolutionized the business. I don't know if the NWO happens. Do we get Austin? Do we get Rock? Do we get the things that we get? Do we get the change in perspective? Does WWE change, or do they continue doing what they were doing at the time, WWF? He had his demons, but he fought through them. And DDP deserves so much help, credit for that. And same with Jake Roberts. I remember them, you know, doing that thing where they're doing, you can call him DD me all you want, Mark Man, but man, he helped him so much. And it's so nice that he got to have that second part of his life at least just happy. He looked happy. And I would have, and then the last moment that I'll really remember, Paul, from, you know, they had the Sting versus Triple H match and the NWO came out for Sting. That was cool. He was an Intercontinental Champion when he, you know, pretty much was in WWF, you know, he went right to the top, but he wanted more money and I don't blame him. You know, he knew how hard he was working and he wasn't getting the money he deserved. He was a star, you know, he was the cool guy in the NWO. It's sad he couldn't really get a world title run, but, you know, he had his problems. There was things, you know, that he'd do outside of it, you know, badgering fans, you know, he would, you know, he was cool and he might have, you know, he was like Randy Orton at times, back when Randy Orton was just kind of a pain in the ass to be around. But Scott Hall will always be remembered. And he was one of the best. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. He was so creative. And I don't think people realize how creative he was. And he did so many great things. He helped a lot of great people out. So I don't know what else to say about Scott Hall. I don't feel like I'm doing him justice. I'm just kind of giving you the moments that I remember. How I see Scott Hall. He was always cool. So I was the cool guy. And I was sad when WWE let him go. But now looking back, I know there's nothing he could do. But you know what? He fought through his demons and he got out on the other side. And a lot of guys can't do that. Say they did that. And you know what? He didn't die because he died because of something that happened. It sucks that it happened. But you know what? He's in a better place. And we will always remember the bad guy. So survey says, one more for the bad, for the good guy. Survey says, one more for the good guys. Hey, yo, working man, Scott Hall here. Oh, yeah, one other man. I always remember his little feud he had with Sting in 1998. These weren't great matches, but I was like, you know, he won the World War III match and, you know, he fought Sting and didn't really go very far, but, you know, it was always cool to see Scott Hall. Scott Hall was always cool. Coolest guy in the room. So, hey, yo, we won't forget you, man. One more for the good guys. The bad guy. He didn't leave the building. He's still here. Whew. That was hard. Now let's talk about AEW Dynamite. And we're talking specifically AEW Dynamite 317 2022. So what I'm kind of going to do is, you know, pick certain things here. The show opened with Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus Adam Page, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. Cole pins Jungle Boy after Red Dragon hit the high low and Cole lowered the boom. And pin Jungle Boy. So it looks like Cole and Hangman Adam Page are going to fight again. Keith Lee and Team Taz had a little discussion. It wasn't great. Chris Statlander video. Looks like Chris Statlander is getting a change. Good for her. We have Brian Danielson and John Moxley versus Wheeler Yuta and Chuck Taylor. William Regal's on commentary. He was so funny. He says, you know, he said, he was like, Jim Ross, you've done a lot for me as well. You and the mask, you've not done anything for me. It's funny. Brian Danielson, John Moxley gave Wheeler, they made Wheeler Yuta like mean something here. And, you know, Wheeler Yuta had a lot of hope spots, but he fell to the bulldog choke by Moxley. Great match. I love how Brian Danielson and John Moxley work as a team. They're just like a unit and just come in there. Boom, 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 boom. I love this team. And, you know, the crowd was chanting Wheeler Yuta. I mean, they put him over as much as you could other than giving him the win. And they've set the stage. And it looks like maybe Wheeler Yuta might be the guy that joins Brian Danielson and John Moxley at some point, but who knows. And Wheeler Yuta gets slapped by Regal, and it was a great moment. I loved it. FDR backstage with the Young Bucks. Young Bucks kind of saying that you'll always be like second. We got a Brett tease. Looks like Brett's coming in. Acclaim backstage promo. Who cares? Not that great. Jericho Appreciation Society commencement. Jericho pretty much, you know, has lost a lot of weight. Still using Judas 2.0, Daniel Garcia, Jake Hager. Great. He called Jake Hager the hand of the king. And he said, I'm not a wrestler. I'm a sports entertainer. So basically Jericho's doing what I wanted Cody to do. Take what everybody thought of him as the sports entertainer and use it as heat. And that's what Jericho's doing. He's a sports entertainer, not a wrestler. Awesome. He's reinvented himself again. I love it. 2.0 got a new name. He talked about helping them out. He called his former friend Kevin, who told him to give these guys his former friend. We all know he's talking about Kevin Owens. Great set for Daniel Garcia. He talked about helping Daniel Garcia. This was great. I love that, you know, Jericho's, you know, reinvented himself, and this is what everybody thinks of him as a sports entertainer. So let him go with it. Let him be the sports entertainer that everybody hates. And this was just great reinvention of Jericho. And Cody could have done this. And this was one of my main gripes with Cody is like, why didn't you do this? This was your chance. But, you know, Jericho, he seized the opportunity and he's going to do this. And it's great. Serena Deeb, Kara Shida, kind of promo backstage, not really much to it. Wardlow versus Scorpio Sky for the TNT title. Wardlow ends up losing to the ring post after MJF interferes. Wardlow was hitting the carousel power bombs on Scorpio Sky when like this kind of happened. MJF paid off top team. They beat the crap out of them with the chairman, whatever the hell his name is. They teased Wardlow powerbombing MJF, but you know, there were too many of them. They all outnumbered him. He didn't have any friends, and it's great because he's been working with MJF. Wardlow, I see him as a guy like Batista, and when he finally powerbombs MJF, that place is going to pop like it's nobody else's business. And I think that's the match we're looking at, MJF versus Wardlow at Double or Nothing. Jade Cargill promo, good stuff. You know, it was okay. The Hardy Brothers versus Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Queen. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the tag team's name. The Hardys win. Jeff Hardy, you know, is the Swanton. AFO comes out. They're no longer called AHFO. It's now Andrade Family Office. Sting and Darby come out, you know, and ward it off. So it looks like AFO versus Sting and Darby and the Hardy Brothers, because they won't call them the Hardy Boys here. Red Velvet promo. Good stuff. No, it's not really good. I don't really remember what she said. Now we come to the thing we've all been waiting for, the steel cage match, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. A whole year ago from the Lights Out match, which was the first time you saw two women bleed profusely on American television. It was amazing, and I loved this. They put the cage around it. Remember, Britt Baker has won all of her matches with interference. Now they can't interfere. They had the cage up. And the cage had a way where you could go to the side. So it was like a Hell in a Cell in some ways, like a mini Hell in a Cell. And I like that. Blood galore. We had thumbtacks. They, you know, they did a thing where they stacked up all the chairs. Thunder Rosa threw hit Britt, and she hit like the top of the thing. It was kind of a messy spot. Thunder Rosa got a huge entrance with the mariachi band and everything. It was just amazing. And this is her hometown of San Antonio, her adopted hometown of San Antonio. Everybody wanted to see her win. Britt played heel like nobody else's. She used the thumbtacks. There was a ref bump. Aubrey Edwards came in. Power bomb and the tax from Thunder Rosa. A little messy there. And we had the Fire Thunder Driver from Thunder Rosa. 1, 2, 3. Rosa wins. She's immediately in tears. You could tell this moment meant everything, with the blood on her. Dustin Rhodes came out and hugs her. So this was just I cried. This was such a beautiful moment. And from a week with Scott Hall, I thought this was the best way to send everybody home happy. And that's what AEW does. They give you the ending you wanted to see. Thunder Rosa for a whole year, they've been, you know, saving Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, and they finally come back to when Thunder Rosa defeats Britt Baker. Now, if Thunder Rosa beat Britt Baker at the pay-per-view, I don't know if it would have had this moment. There was confetti everywhere. Thunder Rosa deserves it. The match was a little rushed, but it was a great moment, and it was great storytelling. Not the best match, but great storytelling, and that's what I wanted. Between the Brian Danielson and Moxley Wheeler Yuta thing, that was awesome. The Jericho Appreciation Society, that was awesome. Wardlow being set up as a babyface, who you just want to see him kill MJF, that was awesome. The steel cage match was like the cherry on top. Jeff Hardy back, although he seemed a little slow to me, but, you know, give him time. But Thunder Rosa, boy, does she deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Thunder Rosa so deserves that moment. And I'm so happy she got to have it. And she was the only person who should have beaten Britt Baker, and she did. And it was time, and this was the best way to do it. And I'm so happy. Thunder Rosa is going to be a great champion. Let her have a long run. She deserves it. Maybe not as long as Britt's, but, you know, get ready. Thunder Rosa's here, and this was the best way to lose. In other words, Raw teased Cody. Cody doesn't show up. Once again, WWE doesn't give its fans what they want. That's my biggest problem. They don't give people what they want. So shame on you, WWE. Again, you don't give us what we want. Apparently, Brian Cage is on the way. I've got to believe either Brian Cage is put with Brian Danielson and John Moxley, which I really am in favor of, or they make Brian Cage MJF's like new hitman. And maybe that's how Wardlow loses to MJF or something. But yeah, I'm interested to see what they do. I would put him with Brian Danielson so that he can turn him into a killer, like with John Moxley. I think that would be cool. Looks like CM Punk is going to be the guy going for the championship with Hangman Page. I can imagine Hangman Adam Page and Cole are going to have one more match, and then we're going to be on to Punk and Hangman Adam Page, where Punk will probably become the champion at Double or Nothing, and it's the right thing to do. So that's the things that I saw that were interesting. The angle that Brock did with Roman was pretty cool. Brock on SmackDown, you know, chasing Paul Heyman. And then in my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, it looks like Brock Lesnar and Roman are going to have their kind of final confrontation, and that should be cool. All in all, I thought AEW Dynamite, this was one of their best shows. I just thought it was a great moment. I'm so happy for Thunder Rosa. I love that Jericho is feeding into the sports nerds. Everything's from the sports entertainment. This is what Cody should have done. Brian Danielson, Moxley, I just love them as a team. This was great. No complaints. And I hope Brock Lesnar defeats Roman Reigns, because if he's not going to beat Roman Reigns, I don't know who is. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening. As always, you can find me at Justin Yontz, or you can also find at the DMF on Instagram as well, which I'm start putting some things at the DMF and also King's Road podcast. We have that stuff there too. Should be good. Should be good. If you have any questions or you want something that I cover, let me know. Next week, I will be back with Sting, and I'll see you next time here. And this is the King's Road podcast. Remember that. The truth shall set you free.